You're welcome to turn with me into Matthew chapter 26 from verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowed and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Sleepwalking into tragedy. It's so easy to do. In fact, I think we probably do it all the time. Been watching, I don't know if you've been watching, probably haven't, but there's been a series of documentaries on the beginning of the First World War, because this is the 100th anniversary. And you look back through 100 years of history, and you kind of say, why? Why? I know those were different days, but there were three kings. There was the King of England, well, King of the United Kingdom, that was George V. There was the Kaiser Wilhelm of Germany. And there was the Tsar, Tsar Nicholas. And they were all first cousins. They all knew each other. They were related. And he said, "Guys, why didn't you just sit down with a cup of tea in Buckingham Palace and a few scones and cucumber sandwiches and pour the tea from your silver teapots into your china cups, and as you delicately sip your tea, could you not sort this out in a civilized way between you?" And the answer was no, they couldn't. They couldn't get on. They hated each other, and they didn't realize the disaster they were bringing upon themselves. You look back and you think it's like they were sleepwalking into tragedy. And that can be true of natural disasters. You know, you can be heading towards a natural disaster, not see it coming. There's disasters like Chernobyl and Fukushima. Disasters kind of waiting to happen, but nobody does anything about it. It's covered up and whistleblowers are sacked. And a tragedy is waiting to happen. There was... thinking of the Christians in the Middle East in the so-called Arab Spring, which is kind of almost turning into an Arab winter. And how did that feel? Did they see that coming? I don't know. But you think, gosh, you know, you think everything's going well and suddenly it's not. Now, prayer won't necessarily save you from the calamity that's coming. But the important thing is to watch and pray, to go into every situation, because you don't know what's coming, to make sure that you're walking into every situation prayerfully. Sometimes you can't avoid it. Sometimes you can't avoid the cross. Sometimes you can't avoid suffering. And I just think of the disciples, they're sound asleep. As they're sleeping, as they're snoring away quietly, Judas is leading a platoon of soldiers to arrest Jesus. And you know, there's nothing the disciples could really have done about it, because Jesus was insisting on staying there. He knew what was going to happen. He walked into that. He knew he had to die on a cross and rise again. How do you stop that? Well, the answer is you don't. So we turn to chapter 26, verse 37, which we read. Jesus took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be sorrowful and troubled. Nobody wants to die at 33. And nobody wants to face torture, abuse, false charges, crucifixion, carrying the sins of the world on his shoulders. Who would want that? But Jesus knew that he had to suffer. He had to confront all the evil and all the sin of the world and overcome it in himself on the cross, triumph over it on the cross. And Gethsemane doesn't have to be a garden. Gethsemane, in this case, was a garden where Jesus prayed before the trial came on him. It could be a hospital bed. It could be the scene of a traffic accident. It could be anything. Anything that just brings upon us the sorrow and the pain of suffering. Because the truth is, we rarely see tragedy coming. We're kind of psychologically programmed to avoid it, to hope for the best, at least most of us are. And it's kind of good, in a sense, thank God we can't see what's coming. You wouldn't want to see what you've got to face, would you, till you come to face it? Because, as Jesus said, sufficient unto the day be the evils thereof, you know. Just on the day you need God, he'll be there, but you don't need to spend your life worrying about it going to happen to you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German theologian and a great Christian leader who confronted the Third Reich and ended up in prison for it and was executed. And he wrote this: Jesus prays that the cup may pass from him, and his Father hears his prayer. The cup of suffering will indeed pass from him, but only by drinking it. That is the only path to victory. The cross is his triumph over suffering. Sometimes the only way to overcome suffering is to suffer, to go through it and come out the other side walking with God. But Jesus says, listen, watch and pray. His advice to us is to watch and pray. Be prayerful. Make sure you go into every situation with your relationship with God in a strong position. Remember that Jesus prayed for us. If you turn to John 17, verses 20 to 24. Oh my word, that's small on the screen. Can you read that? So it's a test of who needs glasses, who's been to Specsavers and who hasn't. Okay? Well, I'll read it for you. My prayer is not for them alone, says Jesus. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Jesus is praying for you. Even as he's on the verge of suffering, Jesus is praying for you. And he says, listen, what I want you to do, so I want you to be praying the whole time. You need to watch and pray. Keep looking out for danger, looking out for temptation. Watch and pray. Don't know if you noticed that story. Jesus is encouraging his disciples to watch and pray, but they fall asleep. How many times does Jesus come back to them and have to wake them up to because they're not praying? Come on, we just read it. How many times? Three times Jesus comes back because they're asleep. How many times did Peter go on to deny Jesus that night? Three. Do you think that's a coincidence? I don't think it is. I think there's a clear message in there. Three times Peter's fallen asleep when he should have been praying. Three times he denies Jesus. Watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. Jesus is saying, listen, you've got to be praying the whole time. And one of the old divine, well over 100 years ago, a man called Andrew Murray, wrote a fascinating little piece called The Prayerless Life. It is available free online. If you Google Andrew Murray, The Prayerless Life, you should be able to find yourself a free copy of it. And a lot of these great Christian documents I'll be referring to one next week are available to you free online. You might as well download them to your computer because they're priceless. He says, what are the causes of not praying? Why don't we pray? We say, well, first is unbelief. We think it's not worth praying, as if God is not going to answer our prayer. That's the main reason we don't pray. We just don't think God's going to do it. And if you thought God was going to do a miracle every time you prayed, you prayed a lot more often. And God does hear your prayers. Secondly, he says, another reason we don't pray is tiredness. We just can't stay awake any longer. And sometimes, you know, some of you perhaps need to get to bed earlier so you've got more time for prayer. George Verwer, the operation mobilizer, I felt bad about often falling asleep when I was praying. And I discovered that George Verwer, the operation mobilization guy, is constantly so tired that he apparently has his quiet time walking round and round the room, because if he gets on his knees, shuts his eyes, he's asleep straight away. And that's encouragement to me, encouragement to all of us who fall asleep in prayer. But tiredness can get in the way of prayer, so try not to get too tired. If you are tired, try walking around the room while you're praying. That does help. And some people just don't see the need, says Andrew Murray. People just don't see the need to pray. Jesus says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. How difficult is that? It's not difficult. You don't need a PhD in theology to watch and pray. Okay? You don't need a Bible course to watch and pray. You don't need money to watch and pray. You don't need a job to watch and pray. You don't need comforts of life to watch and pray. You don't need anything to watch and pray except the time to watch and pray. Not difficult to do. Just keep on praying. Make sure your prayer life is up to date. Please, if you're struggling, join our Walking Together in Prayer Facebook group. Just find it on Facebook and search it, and send a request, and Magnus will fit you into our Walking Together in Prayer Facebook group, and you can spend the next month just praying. You know, on your way into lectures, just calm your mind, or in the way to the exam, calm your mind by just praying for whatever on that Facebook group this week. Just watch and pray. We're called to prayer. It can be a lonely journey. And it can be that sometimes we feel we're the only person praying for this. But if we are, we are. Not a problem. I've just got two quotes. I want to finish with two fabulous quotes. One is from a man called Paul Miller, who's written a book called The Praying Life. I really recommend it to you after the exams when you've got time to digest it. It's one of these books I'm still coming back to a year after reading it. I'm still thinking it, going back and reading bits of it. It's a fascinating book. And he says this: as we wait and pray, God weaves his story and creates a wonder. God is weaving your story. Imagine your life like a tapestry. God is weaving it. And as you watch and pray, God is weaving his story. And the second one is from my favorite preacher of all time, Charles Spurgeon. Prayer does not fit us for great works. Prayer is the great work. How difficult is that? You know, perhaps you just keep wishing, oh, you were one of these great preachers, one of these great missionaries, one of these great Christian leaders, these great Christian songwriters. You just so want to be like them, because it's doing a great work. Actually, Spurgeon says, no, that's not the great work. The great work is praying. That's the great work. The rest is secondary. The most important, the great work, is prayer. That's what God calls us to. Well, the best things, you know, the great things, the older I get, the more I'm convinced, the best thing you can ever say to anybody, you know, is, I'm praying for you. You know, if you really want to cheer me up, the best thing you can ever say to me is, Peter, I'm praying for you. That's so good. That's so good, you know. That's just great. I'm praying for you. Of course, if you say that to somebody, you've got to make jolly sure you are praying for them. You don't want to lie to them. But if you're praying for somebody, it's wonderful to tell them you're praying for them. How encouraging is that? To step out into the problem, the darkness, the unknown, the uncertainty, the pain, whatever. You're stepping out into knowing that people are praying for you. It's great. It's wonderful. Matthew 9:37-38. Jesus said this. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And as I was preparing this sermon, I began to think, actually, if prayer is the greatest work, and if prayer is the most important thing we do, well, how about this? How few Christians spend time praying? How few Christians really dedicate themselves to the greatest work, prayer? I don't want to send you on a guilt trip, although maybe you need to be sent on a guilt trip, I don't know. But isn't difficult. I've just spent about 2 months giving all kinds of little suggestions which will help and improve your prayer life. They're all on the online, you can listen to them. Or you can just go and do it. Just carve out time for yourself to watch and pray. Jesus said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Easy. It's easy. And it's good. The band would please join me on the platform. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we make the Christian life very complicated sometimes, and we're so full of great tasks we've got to do and great things we must do, and we overlook the simple essentials like watching and praying. Lord, I'm sure I'm not the only one here who sometimes drifts through a busy day doing a thousand things, which is so important. I don't have that time to sit down and watch and pray. So many moments lost in daydreams, so many moments lost in trivial pursuits and dumb things that we do to pass time. And just stopping and praying for 5 minutes, I'm sure, would change my life and change a lot of people's lives. So, Father, just forgive us. Lead us and guide us into watching and praying, that we may not enter temptation, that we might not sleepwalk into disaster, but be strong in our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.